This morning, we're going to be talking about solid advice. Solid advice. Now, please take out your Bible and open up the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 20. And I want to share with you this morning verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, Proverbs 20, 1 to 4, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Now, Proverbs chapter 20, verses 1 to 4 provides some solid advice. When studying the Bible, we find these to be not only advice, but requirements for the faithful child of God. Notice three things we're admonished to do here. Number one, we are admonished to abstain from liquor. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Oh, the death and despair brought forth by the consumption of alcoholic beverages. Liquor is deceptive, destructive, and deadly. It's deceptive in that it is presented to us by way of various advertisements to be something that imparts comfort, fun, and beauty. When you look up at the billboard or look at the television commercial advertising the beer, you don't see a corroded liver. You don't generally see a wife who has been beaten half to death. You don't usually see men laying in a puddle with blood all over their face and a couple of broken ribs. You don't usually see a car that has been smashed to bits and the bodies of those who have been killed, innocent people very often laying beside it. No, that's not what they show you. They show you some of the most beautiful people they can find, drinking that beer, having a good time, partying with their friends, and all that fun and all that beauty is supposed to have came from the consumption of their particular brand of liquor. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. It's a big fat lie. Liquor is destructive. Not only is liquor destructive and deceptive, it destroys. Hebrews chapter 3:13 reminds us of the deceitfulness of sin. Liquor deceives. Liquor is destructive in that it can destroy relationships. It can destroy one's health. It can destroy families. It's deadly in that it can lead to cancer. If the drunkard manages not to get himself killed in a car accident or a barroom brawl long enough to not get the cancer. Listen, innocent people regularly die at the hands of those who are drunk. How many times do we hear the story of a whole family on occasion that has been wiped out, killed, because some drunk driver crossed the line? Let me tell you, my friend, drinking is terrible. Abstain from liquor. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 tells us that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, perhaps this is the greatest consequence of drinking. Not only does it wreak havoc on one's life while here on this earth, but it causes one to lose his soul, to be cast into that lake that burns with fire and brimstone that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Oh, but you know, preacher, just a drink or two with my friends, with my buddies, that's okay, isn't it? Is it? I don't think so, because often it's not just a drink or two. Usually if you take the first drink, the second drink, it's going to go further. But still further, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, it's very interesting that Peter condemns drinking all the way from that first drink. In 1 Peter 4, 4, the Bible says, in regards to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. In verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Now that's how the New King James Version translates 1 Peter 4, verse 3. Now in the Greek, those three words for drunkenness, revelries, and drinking parties literally condemns every stage of drinking from that very first drink all the way to the slobbering drunk stage, and Peter condemns it here. Listen, a child of God has no business bellying up to the bar. The child of God has no business drinking a beer. The child of God has no business taking that first sip of alcohol because that stuff destroys. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whoever is deceived by it is not wise. Number two, not only do we receive solid advice here, not only are we admonished to abstain from liquor, number two, we are admonished to admire our leaders. Verse 2. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. Now we should respect those who rule over us in government. We may disagree. We may not go along with everything that they believe. But we must still remain respectful. The Apostle Paul tells us that the government was put in place by God. Did you know that? Even those governments that are evil were put in place by God. That's right. In Romans 13, beginning in verse 1, Paul said, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Now, who was the authorities when Paul wrote these words? Who was leading the land during that day? Well, it was no one other than that evil despot Nero. Nero was a monster. And yet Paul says, subject yourselves to the governing authorities. We must respect the government. Let me tell you something. An evil government is far better than no government at all. Why, if we had no government at all, if we had no rule of the land, if we had no laws to abide by, who's going to stop that rapist from raping your daughter? Who's going to stop that thief and that murderer from breaking into your house and stealing your goods and harming your family? Who's going to stop them? Well, there'd be no limits to the crime in our society if we didn't have some sort of government in place. And so thank God for the fact that we have a government. Submit yourself to the ordinance of the king, governors, and so on. Be subject to the rulers and to the authorities. Many passages tell us this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, for example, verses 13 and 14, Peter chimes in on this subject. When he says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." And so for the Lord's sake, Peter says, submit yourself to the governing authorities. The Apostle Paul has a little bit more to say about this. Over in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul said, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." And so we are to subject ourselves to our leaders. But perhaps more importantly, we must respect and subject ourselves to the elders of the local body. In Hebrews 13:17, the writer says there, "Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Oh, how many people have disrupted the life of an elder. They speak evil of those who lead in the church. Give them a hard time. We need to obey them. We need to submit ourselves to them. In other words, make their job easy. If you do that, it'll be good for their souls. It'll be good for your souls. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13, Paul again says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Don't stir up strife by going around house to house and and running the elders in the ground or running the deacons in the ground or getting on the phone with your girlfriend and running the preacher in the ground. Don't do things like that. Don't cause disruption and disrupt the peace of the local body with such slander. Number three, abstain from liquor. Admire your leaders. Abandon your laziness. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now we ought to work to supply for our families. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul said, if anyone does not work, neither shall he eat. So we ought to work hard in this life to supply for our families, to have something to give those who are poor. But we need to work hard in the church too, don't we? What about those who are lazy in the church? They need to abandon that. You know, saints often seek excuses not to study their Bible every day, not to pray regularly, not to teach others the gospel, not to attend church services, and the list just goes on and on and on. I've been preaching the gospel for many, many, many years, over 25 years. And I think I've heard every excuse under the sun why someone is not the Christian they ought to be, why they're not working in the kingdom. People sing the song, I want to be a worker for the Lord, do you? Well, then get to work. There's plenty to do. Be a worker, not a shirker. We need to take heed to the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Be a worker. Keep your eye on the prize. You know, as Paul said, your labor is not in vain. In Titus 2:14, the Bible talks about Jesus who gave himself for us that he might purify us from every lawless deed and create for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That is on fire for good works in the Lord Jesus Christ. Solid advice, Proverbs 20, 1 to 4. The Bible admonishes us to abstain from liquor, to admire our leaders, and to abandon our laziness. Are you a child of God? The Bible tells us how to become a child of God. It all begins by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After one hears the gospel, he must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Lord himself said in John chapter 8 and in verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. After hearing the gospel and believing Jesus to be the Son of God, one must then be willing to repent of his sins. In Acts 2:38, they heard Peter preach. They were cut to the heart, so they believed. That's what they needed to do. And Peter tells them in verse 38 to repent. That is, change your life. Stop serving sin and start serving the Lord Jesus Christ. After hearing, believing, and repenting, one must be willing to confess his faith in Christ. Romans 10:9 and 10. With the heart one believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once one has done these things according to Scripture, his heart is now prepared to obey the gospel. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said there's an antitype that now also saves us, baptism. You must be baptized in order to be saved. Revelation 1:5 and Ephesians 1:7, both those passages tell us that it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. But at what point do we connect with the blood of Christ? It must be at the point of baptism. You know why? Because Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. How can baptism be said to wash away sins unless it is the point to where we finally contact the precious blood of Jesus Christ in obedience to the Lord's command? And then that blood washes away their sins. Once we do these things, we're exhorted to remain faithful, serving the Lord until we die, Revelation 2:10, in order to receive that crown of life. Have you become a child of God according to the way the Bible has directed us? Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street. That's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. We want to thank you for tuning in and listening, and invite you back next Sunday morning. Have a wonderful day.